the following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
The bodybuilding world will never be the same.
Get ready for MD Radio with your host, Sean Ray. We'll take you inside the world of health and fitness with a focus on bodybuilding. Now, here's your host, Sean Ray.
Hey, everybody. Bob Chick, certainly not the voice of Sugar Sean Ray. He will be joining us shortly, so I'll be opening up things and just getting back from a big trip, 700-plus at the Junior National Championships. Once again in Chicago, Illinois, a great show put on by Pam Betts and Rod Larson, the tag team duo. They've been at it quite some time. And the district chairman, Chuck Shanahan, was also on hand, as he is always. This is a big event for everybody, that for people that have never been there. It's kind of a who's who of everybody. I mean, lots of pros in attendance, including Dexter Jackson, who had Team Blade in full force with some 20-something girls in the show. I understand most of the girls made out pretty well, so congratulations to Dexter and Gail, who've been working hard on that. As long as his supplement line has also been doing quite well, I understand. So good to catch up with the champ. Speaking of catching up with champs, and we're going to get into the junior national results in just a little bit. Next weekend, or this weekend coming up, I should say, the IFBB Pro Greater Golf Championships. Big show by Luke and Robin Tesvich down in New Orleans. Definitely one of my favorite places to be. It's got an NPC national qualifier attached with it. And we got some pro divisions going on. This is a huge show. I mean, they've really done a great job making this show into a big. It's a two-day event. And when I say two-day, it's a true two-day event in that there's finals Friday night and Saturday night as well. So there are lots of stuff going on. Along with the NPC USA Wheelchair Championships. And this is also a pro qualifier. Things have been kind of heating up. My good friend Nick the Beast Scott has been definitely at the forefront of wheelchair bodybuilding. I got a chance to catch up with him in Toronto just a few weeks ago. So all systems are go with the wheelchair guys. And I'll tell you what, man, these guys really bring it out there. It's a great event. If you are in the New Orleans area and you want to see a good show, and I tell you this because it's a sold-out event both nights. It's very difficult to get in. They can only go so many standing room only before the fire marshal starts getting a little crazy. So definitely be sure to get there and get your tickets in advance. They've got Men's Physique. Along with that is, I'm just going by memory here, so excuse me, folks, Pro Bikini. A couple of names on that, including Ellie Veneno, Amanda Latona, Sarah LeBlanc, Janae Leger, one of my favorites, Michelle Lewin, so that's stacked up. Pro Women's Physique is rocking with 30-plus in there, and some big names there, Tammy Marie, Karina Nascimento, Leonie Rose, Masha Teakin out of California, originally from the Netherlands, so you got some big names there as well. We'll have full coverage on MD, courtesy of Dan Ray and myself, so we'll be bringing some footage, some breakdown, and some analysis, so definitely keep yourselves posted on the MD forums for all the results of that, but best of luck to Luke and Robin. I know it's going to be a packed-up house. So, getting back to the Junior National Championships, I'm going to take you guys all the way back to 1986. Not 87, 86. I actually entered the Junior National Championships. It was my first time going from a teenage career, which I amassed some, I don't know, 17 teenage titles. And losing the big one, though, out to our good friend Sean Ray. That was the 85 Teenage National Championships, which my good buddy Sean took top honors. I could only muster a second-place finish, so the 86 Junior National Championships, which was in Niagara Falls, which wasn't too far from Rochester, New York, would be my first foray into the men's division. And Well, let's just say that things didn't go exactly as planned. I got into there. I thought I was in good shape. I was actually in the light heavy division, I believe, at the time. There was no super heavyweight, so highest you can go was heavyweight. Let's just say the top 15 was called, and yours truly was not in it. This was a traumatic event, to say the least. I mean, talk about a blow to your ego. But the reason I tell you guys this is there's always a silver lining at the end for those with the wherewithal to make change, to overcome, to adapt. And that's what I did. I trained the next year with a laser focus into the 87 Junior National Championships. I was not going to be denied. Made some changes, was in the gym every day, doing the business of bodybuilding, as we like to say. And the 87 Junior Nationals would prove to be a much better venture, as this time it was in Toledo, Ohio. Back then, the show used to move around quite a bit. And went into the 87 Junior National Championships as a heavyweight this time, put on a little bit of muscle, went from 198 to about 211. So didn't put on a huge amount of weight, but enough to make a difference in my frame. I was always blessed with or cursed, however you want to look at it, with a wide frame. Blessed because in the end result is good, cursed, and that it takes you a little longer to get there. So Toledo it would be, and I entered the heavyweights, won the heavyweights, and moved on to the overall, won the overall. So went from zero to hero in 364 days, and on that 365th, this would be the beginning, literally, of my career. Now, keep in mind, folks, there was no internet back then. Our good friend Al Gore hadn't quite invented it. So everything was by magazine back then. I mean, that's how you got your bodybuilding information. That's how results got out. And this was the only link, really, to fan base and all that kind of stuff. So the next thing I knew, I win the show and, got some buzz going, and next thing I know, I'm in the department store and looking through the magazines, and I'm all of a sudden at some point I'm looking at myself on one of the magazines, and it freaked me out for a minute because I was standing with my arms folded, just kind of looking at the magazines, and all of a sudden I'm staring at myself with my arms folded, and it's kind of weird, but that was actually my first cover, and of course it was on the cover of Muscular Development, 1987, and there I was. It was an outside pick that Reg Bradford took, a gentleman that's still around to this day. He's been involved in the photography end of the business for many, many years now. We did a whole photo shoot series afterwards, and lo and behold, there I am on the cover of Muscular Development. Next thing I knew, a couple months later, the very first edition of the NPC News would make its appearance. It was a black and white magazine. It was only about maybe 25, 30 pages. And there I was on the cover, taken by my good friend Peter Potter, who's actually been in the biz pretty much longer than anybody, dating all the way back to the AAU days. And Peter took a shot of me and Sharon Marble, who won the women's bodybuilding title at the time. And we did a couple of shots on stage after the show. And there we were, and continued to be the focus of many trivia questions to this date. Who was on the very first cover of the NPC News? Who else but me? So, but this started some buzz, and the buzz was good back then. Obviously, I would go on to the national championships in 1987. That was going to be in Atlantic City, New Jersey. So I got some buzz created, and this was the way to go. This was the beauty of the junior national championships and winning it, was all of a sudden your name was kind of out there and on the map. And people looked up and took notice, and I was definitely one of the names that they were looking at coming in, to that show. And this show was huge. Obviously now we do have the internet, and there's a lot of good information out there. But anybody who's interested, you look up the 1987 National Championships in Atlantic City, New Jersey, and what you'll see is one hell of a lineup. Again, still no supers back then, anything from bantamweight right up until the heavyweights, and this was a plethora of names. I mean, there was all kinds of names into this show, and 87, 88, 89, 90, anywhere in that range was huge for bodybuilding. These numbers were gigantic. Now, keep in mind, this was in the days before. There was no bikini. There was no figure. There was no women's physique. There was no men's physique. There was pretty much men's bodybuilding and women's bodybuilding, and if I recall, the numbers were well over 200 for this show. Now, that's, again, pales in comparison today when we've got shows like the juniors that we just passed with 700, the USA, which will probably be closer to 1,000. in these type of shows. I mean, you know, obviously those are inflated with non-traditional bodybuilding categories, but for them, that was huge. And there were some names in there. Names like my good friend Sean Ray, who was in the light heavyweight division. Ronnie Schwier, another big name. Franco Santoriello, people will remember in the bodybuilding community from the cybergenic ads and being a hell of a bodybuilder. And then you get into the heavyweights, and you had Phil Hill. You had Troy Zuccolato. You had Harry Dodich. Johnny Ray Kinsey. You had a whole influx. There was a big influx in 87 of athletes from the AAU. And that was interesting because, I mean, to that point, you'd always had a few that kind of trickled over. And the AAU was still kind of lingering around. They had, you know, a bunch of shows. But, I mean, the talent was clearly in the NPC at that point, as the NPC was a road to the IFBB. So, you know, the competition between the NPC and the AAU didn't last too long. I mean, it was literally a year or two long. And Jim Mannion and the NPC clearly, with their association with the IFBB and for various other factors, won the war. And but that year there was a big influx. And guys like Joe Miko and James DeMello and a host of others made their way into the NPC and into the national championships. And, you know, would want to prove themselves against, obviously, the NPC athletes. So here we go. You know, we're at the national championships. And there's a whole backstory to this, which I'll get into in detail in some other time. But I was actually in the sheriff's department. I was actually in the police academy at the time, getting ready to go into the sheriff's department. And I was unable to leave any earlier than when the police academy let out, which was going to be at 4 p.m. on Friday. So you can only imagine my surprise when I had to actually make this trip, getting out at 4 p.m., getting a flight at 5, getting into Atlantic City. You got to get in next door to Philly because there is no airport in Atlantic City, and then drive to the show. I was actually driving to the show while the show was going on. Ended up getting there. Middleweights were on stage. And all was well in the world, but you can only imagine the panic of hopefully not getting there, and then your class is already there, you've missed it. But, you know, this would be a good segue, but obviously as the results of the show would unfold, our good friend Sean Ray, who I'm told is joining us now, would win the light heavyweights at the 87 National Championships. Phil Hill would win the heavyweights, and then, of course, Sean would go on to win the overall. I would take a respectable fifth in the heavyweight class, That's my story right there. So let's welcome him to the show. You're a 1987 national champion, Sean Ray. What's up, buddy?
The spoiler, Bob.
The big spoiler, bro. Just I was segueing in from my win at the junior nationals in '87 and how it really launched my career into the obviously into bodybuilding, but into the national championships. And there you are. You were in my way as a teenager, and damn it, you were in my way at the '87 nationals.
Yeah, and you know what? A little known fact, another little scrub by the name of Lee Haney is also a former junior national champion who only went on to win 8 Mr. Olympias before retiring at the ripe old age of 31. So, of course, we do know about the Niagara Falls junior nationals where Eddie Robinson would knock me out in the light heavyweight class and regulate me to second place. I believe, weren't you in that show as well, Bob?
That's funny you mentioned that, bro. I actually started this segment not with 87, but I actually went to 86 because after a successful teenage career, which you and I faced off in 85, I was in the 86, but nobody knows it because I didn't make the top 15.
Yeah, you know what? The talent pool back then was so friggin' deep, bro. Ridiculous in terms of how many good bodybuilders were in each category. And if you go back and look at some of those names, I mean, a lot of those guys went on to big things, of course. That was also, for the time being, Eddie Robinson's peak of his career. I got sweet revenge in 1987, but Eddie went on. Didn't Eddie win the Niagara Falls Pro Show? I think
yes,
that was
he did.
One of his first pro wins.
Yeah, yes, he did.
Before going on to the 1990, joining the WBF bodybuilding. Junior Nationals has a lot of history behind it, and if you go back, you're a bodybuilding historian like Bob and myself, you can go back and see a lot of the bodybuilders before they even hit the national scene. That was one of the places that they stopped just to kind of test the waters. And now we're having so many shows, Bob, that are national qualifiers that they literally go from Mr. Neighborhood straight to the nationals just to be a pace car on the racetrack.
Yeah, that's, you know, this is a show, and it's funny because me and David Bay were kind of talking about this as we were doing the wrap-ups at the juniors, but the juniors was a kind of a rite of passage back then. I mean, this wasn't something you skipped over, and what I'd like to, what I enjoyed seeing this year was I seen a lot better quality bodybuilders, much increase from last year, and I think that's a good stuff. I mean, I think over the last 5 years or so, a lot of good bodybuilders have kind of skipped the juniors, gone right to the nationals or the USA, and literally gotten their ass handed to them on stage. And I'm not one of those guys. I'm old school, man. I think you should hit the juniors, see kind of where you're at. You remember our good friend Paul DeMeo, bro, hitting that show 4 or 5 times before he won it because he didn't believe if he was good enough to win the juniors, and why would he go to the nationals?
Yeah, and you know what? And we can reminisce about the old days, but you're absolutely right, Bob. This year's lineup has gotten better. I'm hoping that there is a resurgence of more depth as it relates to bodybuilding, because with the insurgence of the physique and the bikini and all that, it seems like bodybuilding for a while was kind of just like an afterthought. But looking at the pictures on MD online, by the way, I wasn't there for you listeners that were looking for me in Chicago. First time in I think like 7 or 8 years I wasn't there, but my daughter had her very first concert, Bob, at the Universal City Walk, which is where I had my first Mr. Olympia at the amphitheater just across the way. So it was kind of cool watching an 8-year-old concert, but she was doing the damn thing, and I'm really proud of her. But we're looking at the pictures online and the coverage that we had. Bodybuilding looks like it turned a corner this past weekend as it relates to the quality and the depth in Chicago.
Yeah, there was it was much better. Like I said, you can visually see that the classes were much deeper, that there was better bodybuilders, especially into the heavyweight, the heavier weighted divisions. Usually it's kind of the other way around. Usually you can count on guys being pretty good, bantamweights right on up. But this time was actually a reversal, Sean. You actually seen better talent from the light heavies up than you did in the lower classes. And this is kind of cool, Sean, but I was just looking over. I just popped up as we're speaking, the 87 Junior Nationals. And at the top of the show, I had actually mentioned that I'll be in New Orleans this week for the Greater Golf Championships. We got some pro and some NPC action. That's put on by our good friend Luke Tesvich. Well, guess who was second place in the middleweights at the 1987 Junior National Championships with Luke Tesvich?
In Nolens, that's how you say it. Nolens, right?
Nolens, that's all one, buddy. All one.
Isn't that with Harry Connick Jr. and Aaron Neville? Hey, they got some singers out of Nolens. But yeah, they also had the Nationals there back when, I believe it was one of the Garberts. I think the first Garbert won it back in, there's Roddy Garbert, and what's his
name? James is the father, James. Roddy's the son.
Yeah, James, I think the Nationals were there like in 84 or something, but, New Orleans has definitely put out some talent. But moving forward as it relates to, going ahead, the Nationals this year are going to be moved in November, the third weekend in November, to Miami. And, Bob, there's a lot of controversy about these pro cards because, you're giving out a pro card for first and second place in these classes at the USAs. I'm not sure if it's the same at the Nationals. Is it the same at the Nationals now?
No, USA, you still got to win your class, but they do go too deep, I believe, in the overall.
Yeah, but the Nationals at one time, you had to win your class to do anything,
yeah.
And now it seems like there's a lot of ways around it. But at the juniors, a lot of people are arguing, why aren't the juniors getting pro cards on the men's side, whereas the women do get pro cards there? Do you know what the logic is?
Well, there's a whole bunch of factors there. The main focus was that years ago, they went basically trying to fill these lineups for the, keep in mind now, bodybuilding, as we both know, has been around from day one. All the women's divisions have been added and men's physique over the years. So in order to fill out the divisions, they started giving pro cards out at the juniors. Now, I don't necessarily disagree with that. Why don't the men get pro cards at the junior nationals? Well, to me, that would be a mistake. If you have a junior national level show, now, I don't really take a lot of stock into the women's divisions in terms of, being compared to big-time bodybuilding as we know it. So I don't have any really issue with that. I know it's not gender, perfect, but to me, Sean, first of all, I don't agree, as we've talked about, with giving, a top two pro cards in a class at any show. I think that's ridiculous. I think you at least should have to win your class and keep the prestige of the bodybuilders and the titles What I would agree with is instead of doing that, then create another show that is a pro qualifier. Keep the juniors the juniors. I would not allow pro cards. I think that takes away. Create another show. I don't care if it's the universe. I don't care, you know, call it whatever you want. But make that a pro qualifier instead of going too deep at a show.
I agree with you. But moving forward, at the end of the day, listen, the juniors is a good show. It doesn't warrant a pro status to it, which is why it's getting better, because, you know, you're not going to a contest going, oh my God, I'm competing up against these professionals. It seemed to have worked. It's got a very good formula. But the Nationals and the USAs and the North Americas, I mean, when you go there, there's pro card implications. You know basically how deep the waters are. And I feel bad for the athletes that don't pay attention to those shows before they get there. Like, you win, let's say, I don't know, Mr. North Dakota, and then you wind up on the Nationals or the USAs without realizing how deep the pool is. You just jump in and you sink to the deep end because these guys are so good, you just get lost in the shuffle. Here's $300, you're out of pocket for the entry, you know, $500-$600 for the plane flight, another right. $500-$600 for the hotel. You're $2,000 or $3,000 into the hole, and you don't even have a freaking a ribbon that shows that you were even at the Nationals. So I advise these athletes moving ahead, because it's going to be a long, hot summer, and by the time the Nationals comes, these guys are going to be real hungry trying to qualify. Do your homework. If you think the Nationals are on the radar, maybe you want to, like, check out a national show or at least look at the photographs of the Nationals.
Yeah, let's face it, Sean. I mean, there's no excuse today. I mean, you've got the Internet. You've got sites like our own MD that covers these shows. You've got years of history that you can look up. You know, back in the old days, I mean, when you and I used to be looking at those days, back in, like, in the teenage days or whatever, you had to wait for the magazine to come out. And then I'm sure you did this as well. They used to have the little, you know, thumbnail pictures of all the competitors, you know,
right,
that would be
right,
like from the USA or the Nationals or something. And you'd go down that list seeing who you could beat, you know, and sometimes you'd get pretty far down the list going, well, I might have a shot at this guy, you know, but even then you kind of did your homework a little bit. But I'm not so sure I wouldn't be doing anything except extensive research before I felt comfortable in today's day and age of where I could place and if I was going to be in contention.
That's probably the biggest missing component, is a lot of bodybuilders put it all in the hands of the trainers. And, you know, you go and you compete in a show, and your trainer wants you to go for another show and another show. And by the time you even get to the big one, you're out of gas and out of money. So this is where, again, I go back to taking control of what it is you're actually trying to do. You know, you don't put on the boxing gloves unless you want to fight, right? I mean, that's why you have the boxing gloves on in the first place. Well, for me as a bodybuilder, once I put on the oil and the posing trunks, I mean, I'm a bodybuilder. So I want to go into a show that I can be competitive in, and that's where these bodybuilders need to get more and more realistic, because the higher up you get, the tougher the fight's going to be, and you have to know that this is what you want for you, not what your trainer wants for you. Again, it's that age-old adage, Bob. It's like if they put the microphone in front of you and ask you, who are you? You don't look over to your trainer and say, what do you think? Who am I? I mean, you've got to be able to have those answers. I've interviewed so many people that don't know what show they want to do until they consult with their trainer, or don't know where they're going unless their trainer's telling them. And I just think it's actually a sad commentary.
Well, let me give you a little bit of a heads up as the one guy who knew exactly who he was, and that was the overall winner of the Junior Nationals. His name is Dorian Haywood, and this is a nice story, Sean, but he was in the Junior Nationals the year before. Which, again, I like to see, because, you know, he did not move it up to the Nationals or the USA, but he went back in. He gained a few pounds of quality muscle, came in and absolutely dominated. I'm not so sure anybody else even got a vote for the overall. If I was guessing, I would think it was unanimous. But the kid did good, and what I liked is that he was fourth last year, did his homework, came back, and ended up in the winner's circle.
Yeah, nothing like redemption, because a fourth place, even a third, even a second place is like a wake-up call. It makes you hungry, and to come back from the brink of defeat to get victory, it definitely makes it taste that much better. And then you start looking and assessing the next move, which is really cool to be able to do that, because you can say you earned it, you worked your way up. And, you know, sometimes when the depth chart is so deep, it is a matter of attrition. If you stick around long enough, you can get your pro card, but to make that jump in such a short time, that's key. I was paying attention, Bob, rather to the bikini division because
yeah, you were.
They had fabulous female Friday, which is what I was paying attention to, and I got some results for us on that end while you look for the others. In the bikini division, Class A, we had winner Tanya Rashan. By the way, I'll butcher some of these names. In the B class, we had Ashley Adams, your victor. In the C division, Angela Perez was first in that category. In the D class was Kenya Yancey. And in the E class, Megan Duncan. And then finally in the F, which is like the giraffes, we had Brittany Taylor. So that was kind of huge on the bikini side because there were so many bikini girls, Bob. It was ridiculous.
Is that a bad thing? I mean, of course it was ridiculous. And that's what I love about it because, yeah, there was 10 million girls there, obviously, bikini and figure and fitness. And it was loaded up, man, 700-plus. You know, when the smoke cleared, I mean, there was a lot of athletes, a lot of pro cards. You know, there was nothing but good going around there. So, you know, congratulations once again to Pam Betts and Rod Larson, obviously putting the show on for many, many years. And they did a hell of a job, man. And you know what? We got through in pretty good timing, bro. I mean, it's difficult because, you know, you're putting 700 people introed across the stage and then breaking it down to the top fives. But we actually got done at about 10:45, and that ain't too bad.
Yeah, I like the way they split it up. But by the way, Bob, there was only one overall bikini champion, and that came to us by way of the F class, F as in Frank. Brittany Taylor walked off with that bikini title. That's huge because, again, that was one of the more populated athlete-involved divisions was the bikini. So I want to make sure that they got the recognition that they deserve, and Brittany Taylor with that pro victory, qualifying victory, is now eligible, literally, like, in the next 2 weeks to compete as a pro out there in Chicago. You know what I mean? It's, like, crazy how 1 minute you're on an amateur stage, and the next week or two you're on a pro stage.
Well, one thing I did like is I interviewed Dorian Haywood after his victory, and anybody can see this as we have it up on the MD site, of course, and I did ask him, you know, what's your plan now? You know how this goes, Sean. Half the time it's, well, I think I'm going to take a year and get ready and this and that, which often I think is a mistake. And what I liked was his answer was, I'm going to the USA. And for those who don't know, that's coming up right around the corner here in July. John Lindsay putting that show on for, I don't know, 20 years now.
Yeah.
But the prestigious USA Championships coming up. And he's all in, man. He's got both feet going in. And I like that. Listen, if you're good enough to win the overall Junior National Championships in June, then you should be good enough to go contend for the title in July.
Exactly what our three-time Mr. Olympia champion Phil Heath did way back in the day. And moving right
That's
along,
right.
Our men's bodybuilding division, our bantamweight champion, Michael Nickum, and our men's lightweight champion is Paige Russell. Our men's middleweight champion was Robert Shields, and as they get a little bit bigger, did I say middleweight? That was our welterweight. Our middleweight champion was Corey Freeman, and then we get up there to where I was. This is 198 pounds. This is where the rubber hits the road, Bob. It's 198 to, what, 225, I believe, is the light heavyweight division. We had Charles Griffith, and in our heavyweight finalist circle, we had, like you said, Dorian Haywood. He ultimately became our overall champion, but we still had a super heavyweight winner by the name of Russ Allen. And so it's nice to see a full lineup of bodybuilders in a bodybuilding show such as this, where we thought for a second it was maybe tapering down. And just as we thought that, here comes the bodybuilders storming right back to show that they have not gone anywhere. Move over, board shorts. Bodybuilding is here to stay. And with that, we're going to take our first commercial break here at the bottom of the half-hour mark on MD Radio with Bob Chick. We're going to come back and talk about a few more upcoming shows, namely the, what is that called out there in Chicago, Bob? Tim Gardner's competition.
Chicago Pro. What else would it be called?
Yeah. Chicago Pro, that's where it's at. It'll be coming up on the other side of the break as we count it down to the 50th anniversary of the Joe Weider Mr. Olympia weekend right here at MD Radio with Bob Chick. We'll be right back.
This is Lonnie Tieber from Iron Man Magazine, the greatest of all time. You're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
Focus, strength, recovery, results. Introducing Maximize, brought to you by iForce Nutrition. Tired of the same old caffeine buzz? Are you ready to step into a new world of power, energy, and intensity? Maximize has set a new standard in the supplement world, delivering tunnel vision focus, cell swelling volumization, and unstoppable endurance. Don't settle for the current crop of underclothes products. It's time to join the next generation with Maximize, the only pre-workout supplement you need for extreme gains in strength and performance. Don't just train. Maximize your workouts. Visit www.iforcenutrition.com for details.
Over the years, iForce Nutrition has brought you some of the most powerful muscle-building products ever seen in the bodybuilding world. Now, after years of research and development, we are proud to introduce our first launch into the world of thermogenic fat loss with Adipoxil. Adipoxil isn't your run-of-the-mill fat burner. Adipoxil is new and rewriting the definition of fat loss. Adipoxil's competition strength formula is so powerful, in one cycle, you can go from soft to shredded. When being lean isn't enough, get shredded with Adipoxil. For more information, visit iForceNutrition.com.
With over 300 locations and 2 million members worldwide, Powerhouse Gym has been helping people achieve their goals since 1975. Whether you're visiting the gym for the first time or you're a seasoned professional, you'll see why Powerhouse Gym is the strongest name in fitness. Visit PowerhouseGym.com to get a free guest pass to a location closest to you or to inquire about opening your own Powerhouse Gym location. At Powerhouse Gym, you're not just a number, you're family.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you've ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like some banned substances, but rest assured, there's nothing illegal in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB living legend Flex Wheeler. And now you too can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Hey, this is Seth Ferrosi, IFBB Pro, and you're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
Everyone knows that beef is king when it comes to building quality muscle mass. Now you can have all the anabolic power of beef with Carnivore. Beef protein isolate from muscle mass, packed with 20 times the creatine of steak and loaded with extra BCAAs. Carnivore is more concentrated than whey. Beef up with Carnivore, the most sought after muscle building protein ever created. For more information, visit MuscleMansRx.com.
This is Marcus Haley of The Common, and you're listening to MD Radio with Sugar Sean Ray.
Arginine and AAKG are dead.
Tonight, your Dark Side War is over. MHP introduces NO-Bomb, the world's first clinically tested nitric oxide maximizing formula. Need to experience real workouts and pumps with NO-Bomb.
But one of the guys to get a lot of credit is Steve Blackman from Muscular Development. I mean, those guys have done an extraordinary job for years and years and years to promote health, to promote fitness, to promote strength, to promote bodybuilding, powerlifting, weightlifting, and all of those kind of things. So the contributions they made is gigantic, and I hail them for that.
Anyone who understands the supplement market knows that fat burners as a class of products are virtually dead. Why? Because none of these products have delivered the kind of real results people have been looking for. I'm not kidding when I tell you, that's all over now. Because Mitotropin is so powerful and so profoundly different than anything else on the market, we couldn't even call it a fat burner for fear it would be associated with this useless category. That's how good it is. Welcome to the world of Mitotropin.
This is IFBB Pro Mike Valentino. You're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
Shop the new MD Supplement Superstore, where you can find more of your favorite brands and products, upgraded customer service, and engaging cutting-edge research, along with the industry's most competitive prices.
You're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray. If you want to get in on the action, call Team MD now at 1-866-472-5788. Now back to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
I'm the truth and these other boys phone.
All right, we're talking live here with the voice of professional bodybuilding, the master of ceremonies, extraordinaire, and then IFBB Pro representative Bob Chick, all the way from Georgia. Bob and I are looking down the calendar as things will be coming and smacking us straight in the face this summer. It's going to get hot and heated real fast. And by the way, before we continue, as far as personalities are concerned, Bob, I have to say my respects to the loss of Casey Kasem.
Yeah, how about that, bro?
Yeah, I mean,
a man.
You know, the guy had dementia and had they're fighting over him, his ex-wife and the kid. It seemed to be pretty much downhill the last few years for Casey Kasem. And for those of you that don't know him, he was the voice of the Top 40 Countdown and also the voice of Shaggy on Scooby-Doo.
Shaggy.
Yeah, and his voice will live on in infamy. As long as you're watching those cartoons, you'll hear Casey Kasem. But tragic way to go out. I mean, he just seemed to be, you know, dementia and Parkinson's. It was just all over the map. And finally, he is at rest, along with Major League Baseball player Tony Gwynn,
the great baseball
player out of San Diego, lost his battle against cancer. So the older we get, Bob, the more we are going to be reporting on the loss of some iconic figures, not only in sports, but also in the radio industry, and you and I are tiptoeing in that industry right now as we speak.
Yeah.
Heading into Chicago coming up, Tim Gardner, the promoter out of Tampa, he also puts on the Tampa Pro. He's going to have his work cut out because this will be, I believe, the third year, isn't it? This is the third year we had Issa Obeid. We had Roland Winkler win last year and Issa Obeid win the first year, correct?
I believe that's correct. I believe this is the third year, and let me tell you something. You're probably looking at the biggest pro show in terms of numbers in history. He's forecasting between 240 and 250 pros at the show.
Which is, bananas. And the thing about it is, like, everybody wants to wait till the summertime to get in shape, and now, you know, you got to be careful what you wish for, because only a short month later, he's going to run into the same exact thing with the Pro Bodybuilding Weekly pro show in Tampa, Florida. But Tim Gardner knows how to put on a show, and last year's was no exception. Rolly Winkler climbed out of that contest right into the Mr. Olympia weekend, where a lot of people thought he might have placed a couple notches higher. He ultimately wound up at eighth. I had him as high as sixth.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, you can make an argument either way there, but the bottom line is, Sean, is there's only a handful of shows left, and there's more than a handful of names. So it's going to be very interesting to see who puts themselves into Chicago. Tampa, you've got Hani Rambod's show up at the SAC Pro. That's first week in August, August 2nd or 3rd or somewhere around there. Hani could be the biggest recipient, because I think he's got, other than going to Finland, bro, that's kind of like the last chance saloon, man.
Yeah, I think the Finland show will bring out a lot of the European. I emceed that Finland show for three straight years, and the majority of that lineup were Europeans. As a matter of fact, last year's champion, Balto Abaspor, came all the way over from Iran to win that competition. So, good show, but it's a little bit too close to the Olympia to go so far to try to qualify. So they leave that pretty much for the Europeans. But yeah, Hani's show is going to be an interesting one because it's local, and I believe that's the last for the 50th anniversary of Joe's Mr. Olympia in Las Vegas.
Yeah, he's, like I say, that's real good timing. So I'm sure Hani and Sandy Williamson also up in that area, Ted Williamson, some real quality people putting that one on. But I expect an avalanche of guys into that show, and for two reasons. One, obviously somebody's got to win it, and they're going to punch their ticket off of that win. Two, if you're in the points race at all, I mean, that's, like I say, unless you're going to go to Finland, which is not going to be the majority of at least the U.S. contingency, that might come down to that show for some of these guys.
Well, it'll be interesting to say the least. Justin Compton wound up last time when I was talking on the radio show with David Bay, fifth place controversially at the Chicago show, only to come back in 2014 and win the Europa Pro Show in April and get qualified for this year's Mr. Olympia contest. So what we know now, Bob, moving ahead, there's a couple of guys that still not qualified for this year's Mr. Olympia. And if one or two of those guys decides to do the next three shows, nobody else gets qualified if they run the gamut. I mean, you could potentially have someone go in Chicago and go in Tampa and jump in Honey Show in Sacramento and run the gauntlet and not let anybody else qualify. Who's not qualified that we know right now? I know that Rolly Winkler is one of them.
Yeah, Rolly Winkler is not qualified. Cedric, I don't believe, is qualified. Is that correct?
Cedric as well. He sat it out. I don't believe Cedric even has the Olympia on his mind. I saw him in England at the Body Power show, and Cedric wound up getting second place back in March at the Arnold Classic, and he didn't sound like he's a guy that was ready to put his nose to the grindstone, and this was only a month ago in May, actually 3 weeks ago in May, and he didn't look like a guy that was hunkering down for the summer, so he may wind up sitting next to me and you watching the damn show at the Olympia.
Well, let me tell you who else isn't qualified, but who's leading the point standings. You got John Della Rosa, who's leading the points at 16. Now, that's a whopping number to have. John can not do any shows until the Olympian. He can virtually count on being in the top five, as the top five will also earn their way. So he's pretty much assured a spot. Now, whether he enters or not is still up for grabs, but Victor Martinez is not qualified, but he's in second place with 9 points. Now, that is not safe, Sean, because right behind him you've got Evan Senapani, Lionel Bajecki, William Bonac, and Cedric, Freddie Smalls, Johnny Jackson, all between 2 points. So that can kind of go to anybody in there, depending on who enters the next couple of shows.
You're absolutely right. But does any of those guys that you just mentioned, can they change the landscape of the top six at this year's Mr. Olympia lineup? I'm not 100% sold that they can. You know, waiting this long is not always beneficial, because let's say you waited until July 4th weekend to do the Chicago show, and you've already been dieting since basically the end of April, May, and June, and now you're going into this show and you peak in July. Well, guess what? still have almost 2 months before you got the Mr. Olympia. There's not a lot of time to relax, and you may wind up not having a lot to really hold on to in order to dial it back in. So it's not always advantageous to do these shows that are in July and August if you plan on being a contender in September. I personally, as a pro, would rather try to get qualified earlier than year than later in the year, because while you're running out of gas later in the summertime, you got guys like Phil Heath and Kai Greene at full tilt that started their diets in June. And here you are trying to peak in July. It's a tough mathematical calculation. But nevertheless, I think this is one of those Olympias, Bob, that it's just an honor and a privilege just to be a part of it. Because there's only one time in a century that you can be at the half century mark. Who knows if we're going to have a century Mr. Olympia celebration, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's only one 50th anniversary, so, I mean, this is going to be a very special event, as we talked about off the air, Sean. I mean, NBC is going to be covering the show, so we actually have some mainstream coverage. Now, what I understand so far, and I only have limited details, is that it's not going to be live coverage. They're actually going to, but they are going to show it in its entirety over two spots. So what they're going to do is they're going to split it up into two, and you will see that in successive weeks. Right after the Olympia. But that's huge for us to get NBC Sports to be covering this, and obviously we'll have more details as they come. But getting back to your original question, Sean, who realistically has a chance to upset the landscape into the top six? Well, Jonathan Della Rosa is a very good bodybuilder. He could upset maybe into the top 10 possibly, but not top six at this point. Senapani, I don't believe, is even going in. I think he's in full off-season mode, bro, and getting ready for next year, so I'm just going to take him out. The only two names that really have any shot, I'm going to assume that Cedric is also out, is Lionel Bajecki, and that's assuming he could ever just hit his all-time best and just shock everybody there. But obviously Victor Martinez still has enough firepower that he's the only guy realistically that has a shot, Sean. But, I mean, how big of a shot is that when you've got guys like, Big Ramy in there, you've got, Justin Compton, again, I don't know whether he's going in or not, Kai Greene, Phil Heath, Dexter Jackson, Sean Roden, and Dennis Wolf. I mean, that's, can he beat any of those guys at this point?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sold on that. I mean, listen, if Victor goes in to compete, for example, and mind you, let's be clear, the Europa show in August typically was moved to May, so that show's off the chart. That's done. So now you got Victor who's got to choose from Chicago, Tampa, or Sacramento, correct? There's only three left.
As much as I know, and in Finland.
Yeah. In Finland. I doubt Victor Martinez.
No.
So leave the country again like you did last year to go to Toronto to try to qualify for the Olympia. I think if Victor is ever going to try to, if he's ever going to get there, I mean, he's got really the Pro Bodybuilding Weekly show, which is August the 9th, Tampa, Florida. And after that, he would, you know, when is the Sacramento show? What's the date on that one?
Sacramento is the first weekend in August. So,
okay. So you
I'll
got
tell you exactly
choices.
What it is in 1 second. It
yeah,
is
like,
August 2nd. August 2nd, you've got, actually, we were reversed. Hani's show is August 2nd. PBW is the week after on August 9th. So Tim
right,
actually has the last show.
Yeah, so if I'm Victor Martinez, and I'm not, I'm not trying to suck down just for a while. I'm going to go to Sacramento because if there's something funky going on in Sacramento, I might have time to fix that by the time I get to Tampa. If I wait for Tampa, it's all or nothing. And
well,
that's,
I think that's what he's doing, Sean. If I'm not mistaken, last time I talked to Victor, I'm 99% that he said he was getting ready for Tampa.
If I'm Victor, I'm out here in California a week early, training at Gold's Gym. I'm getting photo shoots, getting what I need to do on the West Coast. I go to Sacramento, hopefully get the win, and stick around for some more publicity and more photo shoots. That's how we would be thinking back in the day, right? California?
Yeah.
A contest in the West Coast? Yeah, get me on the West Coast and let me get out there and get in that Gold's Gym and train around, you know, in the place that Arnold and Frigno and all these guys came out to, and then I would go, you know, straight over there to Florida if it doesn't work out in Sacramento. But if he waits for Florida and it doesn't go well, Victor's going to be sitting out there in the audience next to me, and that would be a travesty because he's a guy that belongs on an Olympia stage. But if you come up short in Tampa, one person, second place, you're watching the Olympia, bro. That's a tough one. That's a gamble.
I tell you what would scare me, and again, I know everybody's kind of got their bravado up and all that, but you have to look at things, you know, realistically. But who would be scaring me is that Ruly Winkler is qualified. Now, he's only got a handful of shows, and I believe he's going to be in Chicago, but let's just say things didn't go his way. I mean, you know, that puts him in Tampa by proxy. So I'm not so sure. I think I'm with you on that one, man. I think some of these guys are missing the boat, and I'd be at Hani's show real quick.
Yeah, and you know what? There's nothing wrong with that show. It's just it doesn't have the prestige of the Pro Bodybuilding Weekly in Tampa, but certainly California, anytime you get a chance to come through L.A. right before a contest or even right after a show.
Keep in mind that Ruly Winkler is a defending champ out of Chicago. He's the one that won last year in beating an impressive lineup. If memory serves, it was Lionel Bajecki, who at that point actually had hit his best shape. Bill Wilmore was in the mix. I know Issa Obiad, and I think you're right, it was Justin Compton. Wasn't that his first show? I think he took a fifth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, there was no slouches in that show, but I got to think if I'm Ruly Winkler, I got to be making the, you know, I got to be defending the title and coming to Chicago. So, I mean, it may be that he's just out of the way by Tampa, but that's taking your chances a lot.
Which is the beauty of the IFBB. Nothing's written in stone, and anybody can come from anywhere the same way that Big Ramy came out of, you know, what was it, Beiran? Where did Ramy come out of? He came from...
Isn't he in Kuwait or Egypt?
Yeah, it came out and just like Nasser El-Sambadi type, you know, just come out of nowhere and really, you know, shock these people. But that being said, Bob, there are a couple of new things that are going to be coming down the pipe. We know now that we've had the Amateur Olympia in Europe out in Prague. I believe that just took place last weekend.
That's right.
And now we have another Amateur Olympia coming up October 24th and 25th. This is going to take place in South Africa, out in Johannesburg. And the winner of that show, I believe, automatically gets qualified to go pro. I know the winner of the Amateur Europe automatically gets an Olympia invitation. I don't have his name right in front of me. I think it was Raymond or something like that. But we'll know come Olympia because he's going to be on that stage by winning the Amateur Olympia Europe. Sami Al-Haddad a couple of years ago won the same exact title and chose to remain amateur because his sponsors, I guess, were paying him a whole lot of money. You know, and then he came out to the 212-pound division thereafter. But a lot of big things are happening because as we move forward, we also have, I see it on the calendar anyway, a pro show taking place in China. Is that still a go?
As far as I know, and promoter Robin Cheng, who most people would know from the Olympia, I know has been very busy. Actually, he was just down in, where was it, Acapulco, where they just had the amateur show? So he's been pretty busy. He's been all over the place, including China. He's the one putting that together. Korea also has a show that's coming up. Again, all these things are in the works, but it looks like most of them are going to come through. But I'm just looking that up as we speak, Sean. Fareem Ibrahim from Egypt is the one who won that last year. He'll be on the Olympia stage making his debut.
Yeah, you know what? This year's let's figure out what's different about this year's Mr. Olympia. First, let's lay the landscape, okay? We're going into the 50th anniversary of the Mr. Olympia that started back in 1965. The same year Bob and I were born. Larry Scott won the first team in 1966. He passed away earlier this year. So our first ever Mr. Olympia champion has now joined our second ever Mr. Olympia champion by the name of Sergio Oliva, who won it in 67, 68, and 69. He passed away a year ago, so he's gone. Joe and Ben Weider, the brothers Weider, who founded the IFBB as well as the Mr. Olympia weekend, they both have gone on to the pearly gates in the sky. So all of those personalities, along with people that have helped change the landscape, Artie Zeller, Don Ross, I mean, we had Bill Reynolds, the former editor-in-chief of Flex Magazine. A lot of people that helped lay the foundation will not be here physically in the celebration of the 50th anniversary of the Mr. Olympia. But those that are still here, the ones that are still doing the business, Bob, we've got some great champions that are still in love with the game, that still support the sport. I know Robin Cheng has something very special planned as a tribute to all those athletes that came and walked across that stage, may have never won it, but validated the depth and the prestige of that show. There's a reason there's only 13 Mr. Olympia winners in 50 years. But the people they had to go through, a majority of them are Hall of Fame bodybuilders. I mean, there are guys out there with legitimate claims to that title that validated the guys that actually won it.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, there's going to be, if there's any ever a good reason to get out to Vegas and get to the Olympia, I mean, this year is going to be something special, and I can guarantee that as Robin Cheng is putting together some really special stuff. But on a real quick side note, we mentioned the great Sergio, his son, Sergio Oliva Jr., was in the junior national, Sean, and took a third place. I know it wasn't what he was looking for, but he's made some improvements. I think he's going to go back and make a few more, and hopefully we'll see him on the USA stage. But it's remarkable to see him on stage and to see some of the similarities to his great father.
Yeah, the genetics didn't fall too far from the tree. However, it was a different time for Sergio Oliva that came over from Cuba and became a cop out in Chicago for some 25, 30 years plus. Changed the landscape, basically retired Larry Scott as a professional bodybuilder. Larry Scott was quick to tell you that he got out because he saw the genetic blessings of Sergio Oliva, and then that paved the way for Sergio to win three consecutive titles before ultimately losing to the Austrian Oak, Arnold Schwarzenegger, in 1970. But that being said, genetics, you know, are a very strong thing. We use that as a very loose term because we can't quantify how much of a percentage it plays towards a person's success in a career, because we know there's other factors. There's mindset, there's determination, there's, you know, what are your habits, what are your addictions, and what are your, you know, not everybody approaches it the same way. I know that Lee Labrada's son, Hunter, is a lot bigger than Lee Labrada ever was. He's in the middle of, you know, his wife Robin and Lee's height, but he's 225 pounds, and Labrada at his best, 185 pounds. But he's got the same line, same structure. Well, I'm not 100% sure that will translate into the same quality of physique that Labrada had, because remember, when he came on in 85 as a national champion, Labrada, he gave the illusion, like Muhammad McAway before him, that he was a 200-plus-pound bodybuilder, but he never did break the 200-pound mark on stage.
No, and as you are well aware, Sean, is obviously, you know, being in one of the great elites of the shorter bodybuilder, you guys all had one thing in common. Yourself, Labrada, Freddie Ortiz from the old days, Padilla, you all have the ability of illusion to show that physique on stage, and when you, especially when you guys were out there alone, that you couldn't tell whether you were 5'4" or 6'4". And I think that was the beauty of those physiques. It's almost a lost art now, Sean. You really don't see a lot of those physiques anymore. But, yeah, I mean, it's always a combination of genetics. And then, of course, listen, we've both known guys that had the greatest genetics in the world, but they were never able to, you know, make it work for them. So, you know, genetics only get you so far. But, I'm thinking of genetics as we're talking about it. And, you know, Phil Heath, three-time Mr. O, looking to become the first four-time in a row Mr. O since the great Ronnie Coleman. Those are genetics to die for, man. Can anybody beat the champ?
Yeah, I mean, right now, I got to go on record, Bob. Anything short of an injury, Phil Heath is looking at his fourth Mr. Olympia victory, because I wasn't sold on Kai Greene. He did make a run in the last half of the Olympia weekend on Saturday. Too little, too late. Contest, I believe, was personally won on Friday night at first blush, as soon as they came out on stage and started posing. Kai closed the ground a little bit, but that was because he was so noticeably off on Friday. Dennis Wolf has improved immensely. I still don't think he's as complete as Phil Heath. Big Rami has yet to get shredded. And, of course, there's some other guys up there. You know, Dexter Jackson, like myself, I think he's maxed out. There's only so much you can do at a certain height and a certain body weight. I think we've seen the best of him. His best is still good enough to be top five. He'll be battling it out with Sean Roden.
Speaking of your best not being good enough, bro, I'm gonna throw out the topic train for our readers at the MD forums, bro. And you know, this isn't something that anybody else is gonna put out there, but I'm gonna put it out there. The question of the week is: should Kai Greene find himself a new trainer? Kai has been off the last three Olympias, notably on Friday night. So, you know, as good as he is, and as great as George Ferrer is, and tried and true and tested. Is it time for Kai to start looking around, bro?
That's the million-dollar question, Bob. We're going to have to answer that next week. We're going to probably get some callers. We'll make it a call-in show next week to get your opinions on whether or not Kai Greene, what he has to do to right the wrongs and correct the mistakes that upset Phil Heath. We'll make that the topic of discussion next week on MD Radio. We come to a close here on June the 16th. We'll be back 1 week from now on the 23rd. This weekend, Bob, I'll be at the Adela Garcia Classic in Austin, Texas, and you will be where?
Oh, I will only be one place, bro, and that's Narlands, brah, the Greater Gulf.
All right, that's Bob Chick, and I'm Sean Ray. We'll tune in next week, and we'll catch you up to speed on the hardcore bodybuilding news and information right here at MD Radio. Peace! We're out.
You've been listening to MD Radio, a look at the world of bodybuilding and health and fitness. Join Sean Ray again next Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Variety Channel.